and welcome to Stories from the Ridge, Macaulay's podcast series. I'm Lee Burns, head of school. With me today in the studio is Sumner Macaulay, Dean of Faculty and Curriculum, and we're talking about foreign travel. That is Macaulay's international travel program. And Sumner, I think it's very appropriate that you're the administrator who oversees our student travel program because of your family background, and the international travel must surely be in your DNA.
Well, you're kind. I did grow up overseas a good bit. My entire family has done a lot of traveling, but my father was in the Foreign Service and spent most of his time in Africa and the Middle East. And so we would move every two or three years and have a chance to go from country to country. And I think it made a huge difference in sort of how I looked at the world. And other family members have also done similar things. I remember my great aunt, Aunt Anne, who would come back from, I guess, in the 1930s, having traveled to Machu Picchu. And she would refer to everything as my Machu Picchu and my little precious this and my precious that. And she was amazing. And it was actually very central in the school, keeping up with alums. And so there has been that tradition of travel, even with Macaulay as well.
That's great. I think it's a curriculum, as a school, the world is so much more interconnected and diverse. And we're trying to get students to develop more perspective and listening and learning from other backgrounds and countries and cultures and so forth. I think it's great when our students do this travel. And I know the summer before last, I got to participate in a Macaulay summer travel trip to Israel with some other Macaulay students and my son as well. And my other son, Arthur, had done a trip in Japan a number of years ago. So I've seen firsthand, as a parent, just how valuable and transformative it can be when you get to spend time in another country.
Well, I think in many ways, that's one of the reasons we have so many international students with us here. We bring culture to the guys that are here. But to have this program where we can have guys on trips doing a variety of things in other countries where they can't return home at night, right? They have mm-hmm. to be in and amongst folks. They've got to adjust to different language barriers. They've got to figure out cultural differences. They've got to figure out differences of food. And in particular, they meet folks. Many of our trips are designed so they're meeting folks, not just from a tourist perspective, but truly the people who are there on the ground day to day and understanding what they experience on a daily basis. I hope that's what allows our guys to come back with a much broader sense of the world.
Yeah. And, I think also it helps deepen those student-faculty relationships as well, which is so at the heart of Macaulay. But, when you travel to another country and just sharing planes and buses and experiences with classmates and other Macaulay students and faculty members. And think about, Bill Royer and just the great trips that he led to France over the years. And so many alums talk about that. And I think it's just wonderful for that part of the Macaulay experience as well.
One of the things I was able to do was sit down with a number of folks that traveled this past summer with Macaulay experiences. We had a number of trips that went out. Some were more cultural, language-based, and that was to Japan and to Taiwan. And then other trips were more service-based or medical missions-based to Kenya and to El Salvador and to Guatemala. And I think you're exactly right. To hear from those folks talk about their experiences, to hear from the faculty about how they had planned the idea of the trip and what they're wanting the students to get out of it, and then to hear how those trips had affected the students deeply made a big difference. When we try and put trips together at Macaulay, we try and think about the educational piece, the sort of non-tourist connection with people piece, the mission piece we can actually go and serve at some point and we can learn from. We can learn language. So all of that comes together when we're planning trips. And in these conversations, what I look forward to sharing with you clips from, I think you'll hear those elements sort of surface as the students reflect on their experiences.
And Sumner, I guess one of the themes that that comes up is that students having to get out of their comfort zones. They're unfamiliar with another country. Many of them have not traveled abroad before. And just the discomfort and the learning that comes from the discomfort and the unfamiliarity. That's one of the key themes I would anticipate.
That's exactly right. And it's wonderful to hear students who have gone through that and the confidence that they've gained and the maturity they've gained. You can't create that in a local experience. This first clip shares this perspective of a mixture of real excitement, but also nervousness, not just from the student, but even from the parents as well. But I think you'll find it's fun to hear what attracted these guys to an experience, even one so new and different from the normal day-to-day. First, we'll hear from Jake Atwood, a senior day student from Appison, Tennessee, and then from Sean Huss, a senior boarder from Montana. Jake, when this was announced, what went through your mind? Hey, I get to go to Taiwan. What was the idea behind your joining the trip?
I mean, honestly, the first thing that I thought was finally, because in seventh grade, I had heard about some high schoolers from previous years going to China. And I was like, oh man, I can't wait to do that. You know, I got to keep doing Chinese. And so the first thing that ran through my mind was just excitement. You know, there was no nervousness, no like, you know, I'm going to a foreign country where I'm not entirely proficient in the language. You know, the only thing that I was thinking was I am really just excited to go here, experience everything, the culture, speak the language, you know, finally put everything that I've been learning into, not perspective, but like finally put it into use. Mm-hmm.
Did you travel outside the United States before?
I've traveled to parts of the Caribbean, so nothing too far, no.
So this is a big trip for you.
Oh yeah, no, my mom was stressed. She was like, you're going to be on the other side of the world. Yep. And, you know, you're not going to have any source of like contact, you know, it's a big jump. I mean, you know, every other place I've been with my parents, I've, you know, had contact with them and I've, you know, felt pretty comfortable there, always English speaking. So it was certainly a big jump. And I think she was even more nervous about it than I was.
Sure. All right. That'll be good. I want to come back to that. Sean, talk to us about your thoughts. Sort of what caused you to say, hey, this is a trip I want to be on?
Well, I'd have to agree with Jake in that I mean, it was just something I'd heard about for the past few years. I'd seen pictures of the trips that people had taken all over the world and before COVID, and I really wanted to experience that. And this was the perfect trip. I got to put my Chinese to use and get out of the country because it was my first time as well going to a genuinely foreign place. And it was just extremely exciting to be able to put all of the years of learning language to use.
So Lee, one of the things that I think you can hear is it's fascinating how parents have to get first aware of their son's interest and have to sort of let go. I think it's sort of like when parents allow their sons to come to boarding, right? It's a sense of I've got to let him go for the amazing experience that can be offered. That's a scary thing to do.
Yeah, it sure is. And I remember doing that with, you know, my older son when he went to Japan and, you know, obviously couldn't speak Japanese. This was a number of years ago. And then a few months later, we hosted two students from Japan in our house for a couple of weeks. And there was that, you know, of course there's that, you know, language barrier, but still you learn ways to communicate even without having a common spoken language.
Very much so. That's one of the most amazing things I did hear from students as they talked about it was the perception of that language barrier. For some, it was the first time they were going to be able to travel to a place and use the language they'd been working on here. I think it's many ways it speaks to why we have an immersion program here at Macaulay.
Yeah, it sure does. And we talk a lot about, you know, how do we connect learning to the real world where it's not just esoteric, it's not just abstract, it's not just here, but how do we connect it to the ways you can use it, you know, in the real world? I think about what we're doing with, you know, T-Term. I mean, not just T-Term, but I think that's when students can really develop a greater passion. We start to see connections. How am I going to use this? What's this mean in my life? How is it connected to, you know, the world beyond 500 Dodds Avenue?
That's exactly right. And so I think in this next clip, you'll hear Sean Huss describe a bit what that experience was like, what he was looking for into the trip, and then how that sort of unfolded, particularly through the homestay experience.
Well, initially, I just read some information on Taiwan, where we'd be going, just general cultural information about the country. But then I remember in our getting ready as a group for it, we did, particularly notably, was this drill we did where we could not speak and we had to communicate with someone. And that ended up being a lot of fun and reflected pretty strongly how easy it could be to communicate with people, even if you have no way to speak to them.
Yeah.
Which was really particularly helpful during the homestay, where we stayed with a Taiwanese family who hosted us in their house for, what, 4 nights it must have been?
It was 4 nights, yeah. 4.5 days, 4 nights.
Yeah, and so it was difficult to communicate at times, especially when that would be necessary living in their home. But you could use body language. There ended up being a lot of ways to communicate with someone that I'd never imagined before.
Okay, so interesting. So talk a little bit more about that homestay. So you walk into that homestay, and we'll talk about the rest of the trip as well, but you walk into that homestay, and what was the first experience? You're meeting who?
Well, we're meeting the families that we're going to stay with. So they arrived to where we were all as a group located, this home, and the homestay families showed up, picked us up, and brought us back to their place where we'd be staying. And so we had our homestay, mother, father, and siblings. I ended up having what our family had, a daughter and a son, not too much younger than myself, actually. And it was kind of scary at first, a little nerve-wracking getting in the car with these people who I can barely speak to, I've never met before. And it's like, oh, I'm going to be spending the next 4.5 days with these folks. Yeah. And so it was a little nerve-wracking at first, but I got to say that ended up being my favorite part of the trip, because there was just something about seeing the kindness and warmness of those people opening their home to a complete foreigner who can barely talk to them and be willing to share their culture and language and lifestyle with me. It was just that ended up being my favorite part of the trip.
That's a pretty neat experience. And you're right to have that perspective of what it must have been like for them to sort of open space. Jake, how about you? What was the homestay like for you?
Well, you know, it was actually one of the things I was kind of nervous for once we got there. I mean, you know, when I'm with my friends, I'm like, oh, I can kind of get by, you know, speaking a little bit, but then kind of receding off. And the moment I saw the car pull up, and I'm like, all right, Jake, you're on your own. You are by yourself. I was nervous. I almost didn't want to talk, but you know, the moment they walked over there, they were super sweet. You know, they all introduced themselves. I had a homestay mother, father, and a brother and a sister as well. So it was an incredible experience, because you know, it really put into perspective a lot of things. It felt like a charades game at times,
right?
You know, I'm sitting in the living room trying to explain something that we do, like something that we do at my school or in America. And I'm trying to do all these charades, and they're just looking at me so confused. But, you know, it was just a really unique experience. You know, I helped the brother with his English homework.
Yeah.
And that was really fun. So, you know, that nervousness, and like Sean said, that nervousness turned to just the best part of the trip.
So what you've just heard Sean discuss is one element that I love seeing on these trips, is where they actually get that homestay experience with families. There's nothing like being with day in and day out, and not just with the larger group, which they'll see on a regular basis, but when it comes back in the evening and they stay and they're the only one, or they're with another Macaulay guy in with the families, that's when it becomes real.
Yeah, it is such a powerful experience. And I think you realize that, you know, despite, you know, the different, you know, cultures and countries and backgrounds, there, you know, this, the common humanity that we have and that we share, and just ways we can connect across all kinds of barriers that sometimes we can be fearful of or confused by or hesitant to enter into. But when you've got the homestays, you're in another country, I mean, you're going to have to develop those, you know, those relationships, that sense of trust, getting over stereotypes or fears or so forth. And there's just so much growth that comes from that. You know, we have such a remarkable faculty and staff, and what they do every day in the classrooms and the fields and dorms, it's really, they're incredibly dedicated. But then I think about, you know, spending a significant part of their summer to lead a group of students on this. It speaks to their commitment, their passion, their sense of adventure, their connection to Macaulay students. It's really remarkable. It takes a lot of time, not just the trip itself, but all the preparation that goes into it as well.
That's exactly right. And the preparation is not only, you know, announce a trip and get the cost and figure out the, you know, logistics of it, but it's also thinking about what the trip's supposed to mean, right? How do they shape the experience? And let's play actually two clips, one from Dr. Dobrin, who took a group to Japan this past year along with Caleb Bagby, and then also Carson Murphy. And both of them actually were taking kids back to places they had been. And I think that you'll hear that enjoyment and excitement as they put that trip together.
So I've always said that Japan was one of the homes of my heart, and it was one of the most incredible places that I've ever gotten to live. And I've lived a lot of different places, so it's not idle praise. And I always kind of wondered, like, am I building this up in my head? Like, is Japan as amazing to everyone else as it is to me? And getting to watch the wonder and enjoyment on the faces of these boys who I've come to care about so much in the place that I cared about so much, and realizing, like, it is as incredible as I remember it. And now I'm getting to double that because I'm enjoying it myself and I'm getting to watch them enjoy it. That was the real, like, best part of this trip for me.
So in addition to full language immersion and providing that for students, I think you can't separate language and culture, right? Paco, head of the foreign language department, is always talking about how those are just deep, very deeply intertwined and connected. So yes, there was very much a cultural piece. I wanted students to, one, just experience Taiwanese culture, but I mean, whether they're for 13 days total, like that's not enough to really deeply experience it. But during that time, what I want them to experience is a little, get a taste of the culture, but then also beyond that, to see what is it like to enter a foreign country where you are the outsider, where you don't speak the language, you don't think like everybody else or have the same belief systems, and you kind of have to figure out how they do life and adapt to them. And that's a really valuable experience. And so, yes, there's a cultural component, but it was... I don't want to be so naive as to think that in 13 days, our students got a super deep look into what Taiwanese culture is really like. I think we got to see it. But I think the experience of being there as the outsider, as the foreigner, is a really valuable experience that we wanted to provide for students.
Lee, what Jessica and Carson just talked about really resonates with me as well. I remember taking students on service trips with Habitat for Humanity to both Fiji and Northern Ireland, both places I had traveled with Habitat on my own previously. And I remember being really excited to share what I had experienced, even to meet the same construction supervisors, you know, fellow Habitat folks with whom I'd worked. I remember some folks saying, well, why go back to a place you've already been? And it was because I wanted to share this deep affection for that place and for the folks that I'd met there. I think you'll hear that as we shift to Kenya and Josh Dietrich and others on that trip talk about their experience. The Kenya was a medical missions trip, and this is a pretty amazing, special trip, working with Love Without Reason. It was an organization, is an organization, that was founded by the Matthews family. Philip Matthews was a graduate in 2019. When he was here, remarkable, remarkable impact he had on the school. Philip was born with cleft palate, cleft lip, was missing his right eye, missing his right ear, had 23 surgeries going up. Unbelievable spirit, unbelievable sense of what he could give to the world. That's how he approached the world. And so his family had created a medical missions program that works both in India and Kenya. We had taken a trip to India several years before and had a powerful impact on those students. There's something about when you're traveling, not just to have the cultural exchange, not just to have the language exchange, which is important, but when you're able to recognize that you are relevant to making a difference in the place you're going.
Yeah, and you know, we talk at Macaulay a lot about making a positive difference in the world and what are our duties to other people and how do we love and serve other people. And I think that's a great example of that. And I fondly remember Philip and just the infectious optimism and smile and faith and just how he's so invested himself in wanting to serve and love other people. And it just, I think it touches, you know, the boys and faculty's hearts when you go someplace and you can serve and love other people. And I remember hearing Ricky talk about in his chapel about it's how we can feel so grateful for what we have. And seeing in, often in these other countries with children who and adults who have so much less than we do, but there's a joy, there's a contentment, there's a happiness about them that's sometimes elusive to us here despite all our material blessings. And so I think it's a great thing for our students to be totally taken out of their comfort zone and their material blessings and say, hey, I'm just going to connect heart to heart and I'm going to learn from these other people. We think, hey, we're going to serve and help, which we are, but it's also helping us to learn and grow as well.
That's exactly right. I found on the Habitat trips we've taken 20 or so across the world that while we thought at times we were going to, yes, build a house and that was going to make a difference, what we were learning from the people in terms of specific skills, but also the skills of life, how to negotiate particular place that you're in a hopeful way, the grit and resilience, all the things we're trying to teach in these habits of mind, habits of heart, that's exactly what our guys were experiencing. Let's play for two clips, one from Ashwin Sanjay, who is a senior boarder from Georgia, and you'll hear him describe the experience of seeing hope in the kids' eyes. And then also from Karen Fowler, who is a senior boarder from Mississippi, a really interesting way in which he thought about sort of how to reevaluate how he was doing things.
I'd also like to add, people always say that your eyes tell you a lot about your character and who you are. And to be honest, I never really understood that until I took this trip. You can just see in those kids' eyes, like, the hope. Because we had got kids from all over Kenya. It wasn't just that one specific area in Nairobi. It was from all over. And in every single kid, you could see the hope in their eyes that they would finally be fixed or whatever. Because they had been looked down and beat upon for so long. And they finally had the opportunity. This is Ashwin. I think for some ways for me, it almost makes me feel guilty in a way that I like desire and want so much stuff out of my parents, out of Macaulay, out of my friends. And I go over to Kenya and I see all these like parents and kids who have like almost nothing. Like they have themselves and that's pretty much it. And they always have a smile on their face. And I can't even really describe it. It was just beautiful. They were always happy. They were always smiling no matter what type of predicament they were in. When we told them that maybe they couldn't have surgery, they were still appreciative that we even tried to like accept them in the first place. And I think for me, I've always wanted to be a doctor, and I think this kind of confirmed it for me that I really want to go into the med field after this trip.
Yeah, I think this is Corin. I think for me, you know, obviously you expect to go and have the transformation of seeing these kids and having their lives change. But some that caught me off guard was just, you know, the local people. Especially the people that we were working with were the happiest people I have ever seen. They were the kindest people I've ever seen. Most generous people I've ever seen, and they had the least of anybody that I've ever met. And it just kind of made me reevaluate like how I'm doing things. You know, at Macaulay, we have so much. It's tough walking around and seeing guys without smiles on their faces, or when I don't have a smile on my face, it's kind of like, it's convicting to like they've got something more than tangible things, and just figuring out what that is, and I don't know, it just really kind of caught me off guard. And people had told me that too before. I had talked to people that had gone to Kenya and they were like, oh, you're just going to be blown away by these people. Like, these people are incredible. And they were, like, to an extent that still surprised me. So just the kindness and generosity of everybody there makes me rethink, you know, how I'm doing things.
Lee, we talked earlier with Jessica Dobrin and Carson Murphy about their passions as they created their trip. And now I want to share two clips from Ricky Thomas, our Dean of Student Life, and Josh Dietrich, our chaplain, as they were thinking about their experiences on the Kenya trip.
Yes, this is Ricky Thomas. One of the highlights, as the guys were saying right there, for the trip for me, were to watch our students just reach out to people that they didn't know. And their focus was not on their condition in terms of what they saw, but they looked at their hearts and just tried to be open and welcoming. And the type of response that we all received from the kids and their parents was like, wow, I don't know who these guys are. Where's Macaulay? They all knew something about Macaulay, that it had to be a special place. And you could feel the heartfelt thankfulness that they had. And even in the situations where the surgeries were not, they were not able to have surgeries at that particular time, our guys did a great job of still extending care and love to them and saying, hey, come back again and let's go at this again. They were still encouraging right there, and that helped a lot of the families in that way.
One, you know, you want guys to see past their own horizons, and I think I have to just echo again what Ricky was saying. Like, I can't emphasize, like, it's emotional, like, for me, how mature these guys are that went with us on this trip, how they were flexible, how they were fluid, how they adjusted to everything, but mostly seeing how they cared for these young kids who honestly sometimes because of their facial deformities and stuff are hard to look at, are hard to be around. And these guys just love these kids like in an unbelievable way. And it was really powerful. And then to hear some of their stories, I think Ashwin mentioned it, we would take time every evening to make observations. And we kind of start off making general observations. And as the week goes through, you get more specific about focusing in on our group and people who we're serving with. And then by the end of it, you need to make some observations about yourself. And I mean, to a man, I think all these guys, these two men who are sitting here next to me now, like just super authentic. Like they're just genuine, authentic, real, open, and honest. And I mean, it's great to experience a different culture and see the world and get to travel. We got to do some fun stuff while we were there too, but it was so amazing to see the maturity of these guys, to see them care for other people. And it's just what you want. Like you're like, these are the men you want to send out into the world, you know? And it's, I'm just super proud. I think Ricky would agree too.
Oh, without question. Yeah.
You know, these trips are really, they're powerful. They're transformative. They're enduring. It's encouraging to hear the students say, hey, this is how it changed me. This is what I'm going to take with me. This is, you know, how I think about needs versus wants. This is about seeing hope in other people's eyes. This is about us holding each other accountable when we're back here. I mean, it's really, it's inspiring to see the profound and lasting difference that these trips can make in our students' lives.
It really is. I hope that's what we're trying to get at in almost every single class we do, even if they're here. How do we make sure the students are reflecting on why this particular experience in this particular class or this particular event or this particular activity is helping me understand the world more deeply? How is it changing me? What's wonderful about these types of trips is it can't help but do that. It automatically has that deep and lasting impact because it's so different. For most of them, it's so different from what they've experienced on a daily basis. And the other thing I would say is, for a lot of these, particularly the service trips, I think it may be the first time that many of these students recognize their immediate relevance. And a lot of times in schooling in the States, there's a sense of, well, I'll use this in 10 years, right? I'll use this skill that I'm working on. Yeah. And I think that's important to build that long-term sense. But I think it's also important for our young folks in today's world to recognize that they're currently relevant, that what they have now to give, what they have now to learn, there's an immediacy that is important to them.
Yeah, those are great points, and I totally agree with each of those. And you know, as a school, we're going to look for ways of how can we further expand these trips. I mean, doing 5 international trips last summer, we did some domestically as well. There's some T-term opportunities. We'll be doing more traveling through that and internships. And so we're going to continue to build the portfolio of trips so students can have these types of experiences. And we're grateful to have the resources as a school to be able to do that. And the students with that sense of curiosity and adventure and wonder and courage to go and do these things. And Sumner, so thank you for your leading in this way and this doing so many ways, including with our international trips and travel.
It's a pleasure. It's amazing to watch these guys, and it's amazing to watch the faculty step up and say, this is important, and we're going to give of our time to these types of experiences.
You've been listening to Stories from the Ridge, Macaulay School's podcast series. I'm Drew Reed, Chief Development Officer, and I want to thank you for listening and for supporting Macaulay. Support from you, our listeners, is what allows us to offer special opportunities for our students, such as the international travel programs you've just heard about. Thanks for your support, and keep in touch. We love hearing from you.